What's the message of the Republican Party right now? What's the vision? I challenge anybody to tell me because I don't know what it is. What's the narrative? Welcome to another episode of the Straight Talk Podcast. I am your host, former Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark. First of all, I want to start off by wishing everybody a happy Thanksgiving, happy and a safe Thanksgiving. I don't know about for you, but the time period between, this is Thanksgiving week, between Thanksgiving week and Christmas and actually through New Year's, I find to be the best season of the year. A lot going on, but there's a certain vibe, great vibe to it. And happy Hanukkah as well, for those of you who are so inclined. But I like the feel of the season, the chill in the air, festivities. Most people are in a good mood. I think it's a neat time of year. Anyway, speaking of Thanksgiving and the other holidays, if you have to travel tomorrow or Wednesday, you have my sympathy. It's the busiest air travel, actually by car too. Busiest travel day of the year is the day before Thanksgiving. And the airlines are expecting a record-breaking number of travelers for Thanksgiving. I'll read from a story here from TravelLandInsure.com. It says, major airlines in the United States are expecting record numbers of travelers this year over the Thanksgiving holiday period. And it goes through and talks about United says they're going to have this much, Delta's going to have this much, Air American Airline, Southwest. It goes through that. But it is a very busy travel season. It's like that every year. Last couple of years, numbers have crawling back to the norm after the pandemic when they shut everything down. But on the heels of that, the busiest air travel day of the year, I find this story from insurancejournal.com. Staffing shortages, outdated facilities threaten U.S. air safety. Oh, geez, isn't that nice? Isn't that reassuring? As you're getting ready to board a commercial airline, And go to your family and friends to celebrate Thanksgiving. Outdated facilities threaten U.S. air safety. And by the way, let me throw this in here. If you're traveling by air, don't forget that I talked about this, was either the last podcast or the one before, about this drug operation going on at airports. Agents are searching carry-on bag. I'm talking about drug agents, not TSA. Drug agents are searching carry-on bags without getting warrants and seizing money without making arrests. And I talked about how they do this. You know, they call these jump outs. All of a sudden, somebody approaches you and identifies themselves. They might flash something in front of you real quick to authenticate who they might be. And then they start asking you questions. Do you have ID? Do you have any drugs on you? Have you used drugs? This And I went through that. You may want to go back and listen to that because I gave advice as to how to deal with this. Most people just want to get on the damn plane and get to where they're going. And so they want to be as cooperative as they can be. But there's certain things you can do to stop this stuff. First of all, make these people identify themselves by name. Not just flashing some credentials in front of you. Ask them their names. And you know what? Record this, by the way. Get your phone out and record it. The whole transaction, the whole interaction, record it. Because these agents know they have no probable cause or reasonable suspicion to keep you. And some of this is happening on jet bridges. So you've already been checked in. You've already passed whatever requirements are necessary for screening. And you're at the gate and now you're on the jet bridge. And anyone subject you to another search, they can't do it. So it doesn't mean they can't try to do it because they are trying to do it. But the first question you need to ask is, after they've identified, you've made them identify, am I free to leave? And they got to tell you the truth. Because I'd like to get on this plane. I have my boarding pass right here. And you're impeding my progress. You're impeding my freedom of movement without probable cause, without reasonable suspicion. you know what? They know if you start talking like that, they're going to go, yeah, the gig is up. This person knows how to handle these situations. And they'll go on to somebody else. So keep that in mind, too. But anyway, this article here, staffing shortages, outdated facilities threaten U.S. air safety. It says an independent U.S. aviation review team called on Wednesday for urgent action to prevent plane crashes and made a series of recommendations to boost safety after a series of close calls involving passenger jets. The panel, named by the FAA, Federal Aviation Administration, released a 52-page report citing problems that included shortages of air traffic controllers, technology issues, outdated systems, and dramatic funding needs. Since January, the National Transportation Safety Board has opened 7 investigations into near-miss incidents, including some that could have been catastrophic. The FAA has been asked to do more with less in an already strained system, and the series of serious incidents in early 2023 illuminate significant challenges to the provision and safety oversight of the air traffic services, said the report. Let me stop there. How reassuring is this to you? How does this make you feel? If you have to board an airline, not just Thanksgiving, but any day of the week, outdated technology? Let me compare and contrast that to the stuff that happens on the ground, meaning the TSA checkpoints. They don't have staffing shortages. Have you ever looked around at a TSA checkpoint and see the number of blue-shirted agents, TSA officers, standing around the checkpoint? Someone said this to me, and I thought it was very appropriate. You know what TSA stands for? Thousands standing around. And that's about the size of it. They don't have staffing shortages. They're more concerned about you carrying water onto an airplane or baby formula not properly packaged. Yet the air traffic controllers are dealing with staffing shortages, inadequate budgets, and outdated technology. The TSA doesn't have outdated technology. And you know what they always say? Well, we just want to make sure you're safe. It doesn't matter what they do if I'm not safe in the sky. Does anybody in Congress realize this? The crap that they're arguing about, the stuff that they're dealing with, all of these hearings, these endless hearings, I didn't hear it. I had to find this like in the inside back pages of the Wall Street Journal. This won't be breaking news. So what are they doing in Congress? Worrying about this fighting. You know, did you hear about the incident with the congressman? I think he's from Texas. And some labor leader. And they almost came to a duel. This is the kind of crap Congress works on. And then stuff like this, well, this is kind of just like an afterthought. How can they allow, with today's technology, why is the air traffic controller system having to resort to using outdated technology? It's not like the technology doesn't exist. It exists. They're underfunded. So you got the drug agents worrying about somebody boarding a plane with drugs, which they're not finding, and seizing their cash, but we're not paying attention to the stuff that matters. This is typical, but you know, I don't understand it. Somebody explain this to me. The most important responsibility of the FAA, Federal Aviation Administration, is to make sure that planes stay in the sky. We don't have near misses on the runways. And in the air, and delays. This thing also talked about how one of the things they've had to resort to is delaying flights and because they can't keep up. It says here, for example, the FAA in September extended cuts to minimum flight requirements. So they're short-circuiting this. Cuts to minimum flight requirements at congested New York City airports through October, citing staffing shortages. It says a government watchdog report said in June critical air traffic facilities face significant staffing challenges, posing risks to air traffic operation. At many facilities, controllers are working mandatory overtime and six-day work weeks to cover shortages. The FAA said in March they're taking steps to improve traffic control operations, which is short step. Remember when I said you read critically? I caught that. They're taking steps. What steps? What steps are they taking? And then it says here that in August, Southwest Airlines, Boeing 737, and a Cessna Citation 560 business jet came less than 100 feet apart in San Diego. The FAA said an air traffic controller cleared the Cessna to land on a runway, even though Southwest Flight 2493 had already been told to taxi onto the same runway. This, you know when you'll hear about this, ladies and gentlemen? When there's a catastrophic disaster. Then all of a sudden it'll be breaking news. Then all of a sudden it'll get coverage. Then all of a sudden these two-bit Congress people will be looking for FaceTime. We ought to do something about this. And you'll hear the GOP call for hearings. When people are dead. And again, I'll point back to the TSA. They're not understaffed. They're not working with outdated technology. They don't have budget shortfalls or inadequate budgets. We got this ass backwards. More important what's happening on the runways, the tarmacs, and in the sky than it is at the TSA checkpoint. Who every once in a while finds a, you know, and I like how they say the loaded firearm. Who walks around with an unloaded firearm, number one? And number two, you know what they don't break that down into? How much of this, you know, they claim that finding loaded handguns on carry-ons is increasing. It's probably increasing because more people are going armed and they have this in a carry-on unintentionally knowing it's in there because it's the one they use every day. The backpack that most people use and a carry-on, they use it in their private and personal lives, and they keep their firearm in there, and they forget to take it out. So you got to sort this out between what is forgetfulness and what is an actual attempt to get a handgun onto an airplane. But they don't, because they know loaded firearm, airplane, you know, is going to create hysteria. Anyway, let's turn the page here. I saw something else that I wanted to talk about here. Oh, yeah, here we go. Mistrial is declared in the Breonna Taylor case. Remember Breonna Taylor? This was a case out of Louisville, Kentucky. Officers from the Louisville Police Department were going to execute a search warrant. And yeah, it had some problems, the search warrant and some of the chicanery that went on. Anyway, they show up at this apartment. It's a drug search warrant. And they knock on the door and announce, and someone fires a shot at him through the door. Officers burst in and they return fire. Breonna Taylor happened to be walking down a hallway in the apartment. She was struck unintentionally. She was killed. First of all, I talked about at the time, you know, Breonna Taylor, she didn't deserve to die. But she was a co-conspirator in her own demise. What's she doing dating drug dealers? I think she was a corrections officer or security at some point of some type. Why is she dating a known drug dealer who's armed and fires a shot at police blindly? And then you remember the riots that ensued. And so they've been trying to hang these officers ever since. And this case is about 3 years old, I think. Yeah, 2020. And this story I'm reading from here, which is wrong, it says Taylor, a 26-year-old emergency medical technician, was asleep with her boyfriend when police forced entry into the apartment. Officers had secured a warrant, which later was found to be flawed. Her boyfriend, Kenneth Walker, believed the police were intruders. believe the police were intruders. There's a drug dealer. Maybe he did think they were intruders. So, of course, you know, you had all the hoopla around that. The officers were acquitted in the state trial. And then it goes to federal trial on a civil rights violation. That her civil rights were violated. If her civil rights were violated, the domino effect started with her drug-dealing boyfriend firing at police, who claimed they announced police search warrant. That's what they claim. There's no evidence that they didn't do that. And then there was some guy outside who had perimeter responsibility. In case you don't know how these things work, first thing that happens when you break into a drug den, people start bailing out windows, throwing drugs out of windows to get rid of the evidence. So you have the perimeter secured in case that happens. So officer outside hears the shots. He thinks, he didn't know, but he thinks that the officers were being fired upon. So he starts shooting in the direction of the where he heard the gunshots and saw the muzzle flash. That's not the shot to kill Breonna Taylor anyway, but he's up on federal civil rights violations, as were some of the other officers. And the jury's deadlocked. He tried numerous times. I mean, and now this prosecutor says he's going to reissue these charges. I mean, they're hell-bent. I wish they were as hell-bent in going after Hunter and Joe Biden. I wish they had this kind of tenacity. But they don't. Oh, nothing to see here. Well, it's just political. But man, when it comes to a cop, these 3 years later, they're still being persecuted. Not prosecuted, persecuted. This thing's been reviewed. It's a tragic situation, but it was started by her drug dealing boyfriend, not the police. And then it says here in this story, Taylor's death helped inspire protests over racial injustice and policing in the summer of 2020. Inspire protests. It was rioting in Louisville. Arsons, burning, looting. It's not inspired protests. I get sick of this crap. The way it's presented, it's flawed. It's misinformation. And people read this is all they have to go by. They read the stories. Oh, yeah, the police. We got a problem with the police. No, we don't. So it says the trial lasted about 2 weeks. The jury began its deliberations Monday, and they couldn't come to a unanimous verdict. Good. It's over. They tried. Go home. Everybody, go home. Let these officers resume their lives. Breonna Taylor got justice. This is what justice is. A thorough examination. If there's some wrongdoing, okay, charge them. If a jury says no, that's the justice. You're entitled to justice in the United States of America and due process, except if you're the police, because then you don't get it. You get railroaded by the justice system. But you're not entitled to an outcome. And that's what people forget. You're not entitled to an outcome. You're only entitled to the process. A thorough examination, investigation. If criminal charges are warranted, go ahead. But when a jury comes back and says no, it's time to pick up stakes and go home. Pack the tent and go home. You don't continue to prolong this. This thing is 3 years old. It's been through two levels of the justice system, the state courts and now the federal courts. So I thought that was cool when I read that headline, mistrial declared in Breonna Taylor case. All right, remember I talked about, I know you remember this, all this federal office space that's vacant, that's not being used, and the money being spent for the upkeep and furnishing of this stuff, and I said I'd keep you posted. And when I say that, I mean it. I don't do anything on this podcast just for, you know, a headline or breaking news, alarmist rhetoric. This is a lot of the thing, a lot of. Just like this air traffic controller thing here. It wasn't a big story, breaking news. But I think it's more important for you to hear this stuff and know about it than some of this other crap going on, another hearing in Washington. So anyway, there's a follow-up story on this. It says the feds say they can slash 30% of their office space and save billions after remote work empties buildings. The Federal Landlord Agency said it can deliver a telework dividend and slash government office space by as much as 30% over the coming years, saving billions of dollars a year, but the effort will take an initial investment from Congress. Remember I talked about that? We have to spend millions to save millions. Only in Congress. That's like you're having a household budget. And you say, you know what, we need to count this. We need to reduce our household budget. What do we do? And the family sits around, gets together, and instead of saying, well, I guess I can, you know, get rid of this credit card here. I guess I can, you know, stop this. Can you imagine if someone said, you know what, I can help reduce the family budget. We're going to have to spend more money to do it. That's what Congress is saying here, or this work group. So Robin Carnahan, who heads the General Services Administration, said she is intently focused on right-sizing. Intently focused. What does that mean? Oh, I'm intently focused. So it goes on to say here, we see an opportunity to reduce government footprint by up to 30%. That would save $60 billion over 10 years, she told the House Oversight Accountability Committee on Tuesday. Why is she looking 10 years out? Because she knows this thing will go away. So she says here, this is an important moment for the American people to reap billions of dollars in future saving, but can only happen if we work together. Republicans, they're just as guilty as the Democrats in this crap, who organized the hearing, praised the commitment, but said they're not sold on the wonders of telework for federal employees. Let me ask a question, which wasn't asked on Capitol Hill. Instead of intently focusing on these vacant buildings, getting rid of them, why don't we intently focus and ask why we need all these federal employees? Maybe we could save more money reducing the federal workforce. See, they're working on the wrong thing. It's the logic model. You know what the logic model is, right? You answer three questions. I learned this in one of my courses at the Harvard Kennedy School of Government. The logic model. Are you working hard? Are you working smart? And are you working on the right thing? Those are the three questions that you try to answer in the logic model. So let's go through, use that to go, are you working hard? Well, they claim they are. I don't know. We won't worry about that for now because they're intently focused. Well, maybe they are. Are you working smart? Not so sure. Are you working on the right thing? The answer is no. We need to get rid of these federal employees who we don't need. We'll save a lot more in wages, benefits, and retirement packages if we get rid of these federal employees that aren't needed. And that's a lot of them. That's a lot of them. So we're not working on the right thing. Sure, we need to do something with these vacant buildings. But while we're at it, maybe this is proving this work from home crap. We don't need all these federal employees. So we're supposed to be able to slash 30%. We could probably slash 50% if we worked on a real audit and let an outside agency do it, not the General Services Administration. Those are federal bureaucrats. They're in bed with the federal employees. have an outside audit, not only on these buildings, but on a bigger thing. And that's, do we even need all these federal employees? And the answer is no. And here's another thing about this story. Here's another thing. I could tell you, as sure as I'm sitting in front of this microphone right now, that 2 years from now, nothing will have been done about this. Absolutely nothing. It's all saber rattling. It's all talk. It's all smoke and mirrors. Nothing will happen with this. How can I prove that? Look at the United States Postal Service. Now, I understand that that's a hybrid. It's not a fully government operation, but it's partially funded by the federal government. Look at the changes that have been recommended for the United States Postal Service. That's losing like, I don't know, $8 billion a year. And they've had hearings on this, and you know what has happened? Absolutely nothing. It fades into the ether. This is how Washington works or doesn't work. You get a lot of noise and a lot of commotion when it first comes out. Oh, hey, there's a report here. We can make the U.S. Postal Service more efficient. And then, of course, all of the protectionism comes out. Well, you can't end Saturday deliveries because, you know, babies will starve and blacks will be disenfranchised. You know, all the nonsense comes out. Over slashing Saturday. And these were recommendations made in this study with the Postal Service. Get rid of Saturday delivery. Very little gets delivered on Saturday anyway. It's mainly junk mail. But oh, you can't do that because seniors might not get their Social Security checks. Yeah, well, they'll get them on Friday or they'll get them on Monday. Most of them have direct deposit anyway. So all of these recommendations in this report, go look it up, the United States Postal Service. All the recommendations that were made, nothing changed. Absolutely nothing. That's why I know 2 years from now, I'll go as far as saying 3-4 years from now, they'll still be talking about what to do with these vacant federal buildings that are costing taxpayers billions of dollars to keep open when they're vacant. This isn't going to, this is what Washington does. They don't solve problems. They spend money, which is why this agency here, the landlord agency, federal landlord agency, says, well, we can save money, but we got to spend money to save money. Wow. That's a unique concept, which is why I gave that example of the household budget. Hey, we got to cut this budget. Well, if we're going to cut this budget, we're going to have to spend some more money to save some more money. I mean, that's insane to even think about, to even get your head around. So, again, if something else comes up on this, I'll keep you posted. But I don't know. Nobody's promised tomorrow, but 2-3 years from now, we'll still be talking about this. What can we do with these vacant buildings? And all this work from home crap, which only started because of this contrived pandemic. Because before the pandemic, there was no such, well, I shouldn't say no such thing. It wasn't mass work from home, especially with these federal employees. Private industry, private companies are trying like hell to get their employees back into the office. Almost to the point, and I've talked about them on this podcast, of making threats and tying bonuses and stuff to coming back to the workforce, not the federal government. Nowhere in this report, study, news, does it say what the federal government is doing to get these people back into these offices. I've only read about that in the private sector. We don't need these people. We don't need half of them. But again, you know, this is a protected class, these federal workers, the Holy Grail. People in Congress know it too. Oh, these people are voters. They're voting blocks, unions. Federal workers tend to vote Democrat. Don't want to mess with them. So nothing changes. Anyway, you guys enjoy your Thanksgiving holiday. I wish you a happy, safe, and blessed Thanksgiving. Be well. Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, Mike Lindell and MyPillow are launching the MyPillow 2.0. When Mike invented MyPillow, it had everything you could ever want in a pillow. Now, nearly 20 years later, he discovered a new technology that makes MyPillow even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with the brand new fabric that is made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. Say goodbye to tossing and turning and flipping your pillow over in the middle of the night. And more great news on the MyPillow 2.0, a buy one, get one free offer with promo code Clark. MyPillow 2.0, with its temperature regulating technology, is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square to receive the MyPillow 2.0 buy one, get one free offer. Just when you thought MyPillow couldn't get any better, it does. MyPillow 2.0 gives you the best pillow ever. Enter promo code Clark, that's C-L-A-R-K-E, to get your MyPillow 2.0 now. Friends, I want to thank you for listening to today's episode of Straight Talk with yours truly, America Sheriff David Clark. And a special thank you also goes out to our sponsors. My goal, as always, is to break down these complex and many times controversial issues and bring it to you straight with a little dose of common sense, no media bias, no talking points, just truth. And this podcast would not be possible without your support. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, please leave a review at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite place to listen. And please share this message of common sense on social media. For more content, be sure to follow me on Truth Social, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And just a reminder, we'd love for you to join our Straight Shooters VIP podcast club for only $5 per month. And with that membership, you'll receive invitations to attend private podcast events throughout the year as a VIP guest when we come to your town. Plus, if you join today, you'll also receive a free coffee mug and a sample of our private label coffee as long as supplies last. Subscribe and join at AmericaSheriff.com. This podcast is brought to you by AmericaSheriff.com with executive producer Judy Wilkinson of JL Wilkinson Consulting and producer Josh Wentz in partnership with our friends at Bulldog Media. If you are interested in partnering with Straight Talk Podcasts or having me speak in your area, please contact Judy at jlwilkinsonconsulting@gmail.com, 706-518-2116. That's jlwilkinsonconsulting@gmail.com. Phone number 706-518-2116.